Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for joining us today, taking time out of your day to hang out with us here under the Fig Tree. Today, we got a pretty good topic, but before we get into that, got a couple shout outs. This was really, really interesting to me, Bruce. We have some listeners now in Tanzania.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is odd. I think I wasn't expecting that. Yeah, so we say hello to our folks out in Tanzania, and we thank you for joining us. You know,
yeah,
here
man.
Under the Fig Tree. Also, want to send a shout out to our good friend Michael Westbrook, who seems to be the bane of our existence.
Well, let me say it like this. I didn't know that we had a producer of,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Other than yourself, I didn't know we had an external producer that gives us instructions on how long we're supposed to go, you know, what we're supposed to talk about, you know, so on and so forth. But apparently we do.
We might have to give her like a producing credit or something like that.
We have to give him a producing credit, man. You know, Michael Westbrook, otherwise known as Westy.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir.
So today, our topic. No, you know what, Bruce? Go ahead. You introduce our topic.
Well, we're going to talk about discernment. I think that's a good topic today for today. Discernment, right?
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
And what it is. You know, maybe more importantly, what it is not.
Cool.
And, you know, we're just going to talk it out a little bit, you know, and see how far we get. So and we're talking about, okay, I mean, I don't know why I would have to say this, but it hit me, so I'll say it. We're talking about discernment, obviously, from a believer's standpoint, or I should say specifically from a believer's standpoint, and as we get into it, you know, then you guys will understand why I say it that way, because of course we have scripture, and scripture, the scriptures that we have, talks about the gift, and so we want to kind of juxtapose what a lot of people call discernment, and put that up against what the scripture calls the gift of discerning of spirits. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
So don't you start, man? What is discernment?
So looking at it from a biblical standpoint, of course, discernment goes back to the root discern. So you look at the root first, right?
Yeah.
So to discern, or like my daughter says, discern. She's being funny because it's got the C in there.
don't leave the C out, man.
Yeah, right. It's in there for a reason, right?
It's in there for a reason.
So discern, that word discern is used 17 times, 17 different times in scripture. In the Old Testament, and actually the New Testament, Hebrew or Greek, when it barrels down to it, I think there's about 9 or 10 different words between Hebrew and Greek.
Mm-hmm.
That point to discern.
Okay.
But each one of them in their essence means to look at intently.
Okay.
Or to judge.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I know that's a horrible word that we as believers do not like, is that word judge, because we're not supposed to judge. But even going into this topic about discernment, I just want to be able to level set that too. There's nothing wrong with judging.
It's not. We were told to.
We were absolutely told to. People will say, well, no, only God can judge me. Well, you don't want that to be the case, because when it's only God that can judge you, then that's at the white throne and it's too late.
Yeah, right.
So in this life, Jesus lays this out. He didn't say if you do. He said when you do. When you judge righteously.
Yeah.
So. There's no if you judge. He says when you do it. And if you're going to do it, when you do it this way.
Right.
In those days, three different main uses for judgment. One was civil judgment. One was the judgment between right and wrong. The other judgment was between or what the worth of someone. So we know when Paul was saying, or we look at the scripture where Jesus was saying, judge not lest you be judged. He's saying, look, if you're going to judge, don't
Right.
judge to a standard that you're not willing to be judged, right?
Sure.
Now, people just take that judge and just, no, you can't judge me. You can't. Well, that's not true. So, again, you had those three levels of judgment. We know Jesus wasn't talking about civil judgment because Paul even teaches about civil cases and court cases and stuff. He teaches about that. So, we know he wasn't talking about that.
Yeah.
We know as people, we can't judge the worth of someone. Only God can do that.
Yeah.
So, that only leaves one thing, judgment between right and wrong. And so I think what believers need to understand is we should judge one another in matters of right and wrong, but
Right.
we judge them according, and if we're going to do it righteously, according to what the Word of God says.
That's right.
And so that word to discern, like I said, it's not just in judgment, but it's to look at intently and to be able to know what's happening. Knowing good and evil, knowing right and wrong, that kind of thing. So,
Yeah.
for the most part, that's what discernment is in just that way. And I know we'll talk about the gift later, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, who has discernment?
Who has it?
Yeah.
Well, everybody does. Okay? Everybody
Bravo.
does. So
Woohoo.
from a standpoint of self-preservation,
Yeah.
everybody has some type of discernment. And what do I mean by that? Okay. So if you are driving down the road and you see a big plume of smoke, and all of a sudden you see the sky turn like an amber type color,
Yeah.
and you're heading in that direction, you're probably thinking, I probably shouldn't go that way. Something could be going on. That's
Right.
just a level of discernment.
Yeah.
And that's just to preserve your own life. If for nothing else, discernment is there to help you preserve life, your own
Sure.
life. So everybody has some type, or you say, yeah, you're walking down the street, you see a group of people that look like they might be trouble. Or in fact, they might be doing something. Maybe they're throwing a whole bunch of bricks at windows and busting out windows and cars and stuff, and you're like, I probably shouldn't walk down that way.
Yeah.
That's you preserving your own existence.
Yeah.
That's a level of discernment. So everybody has it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is discernment the same as the gift of discerning of spirits, which is talked about in 1 Corinthians 12?
No. It is
It's
not.
not, is it?
It is not. Not at all.
I think there's a lot of people, a lot of believers today, Troy, that will use, I'm gonna throw another word in the mix, perception.
Okay.
That will use their ability to simply, as you said earlier, you see a plume of smoke, you see a fireball. Yeah, you probably need to go the other way, right? You probably need to take some kind of action, I think one of the reasons that we're talking about this is because I think a lot of believers confuse the natural human ability that, yes, did come from God because he made us, right? He designed us. But that natural ability that everybody has or should have, I think if someone doesn't have it, something is it's because something is wrong, not because they were born without it. But in the sense of believers, I think listening to believers talk, having talked to a lot of believers over the years, I think there's a bit of confusion with what a lot of believers think God is revealing to them, I'm gonna say it like that, versus what they're simply perceiving based on carnal knowledge, like just regular everyday knowledge, as you mentioned earlier, based on feelings, right? Based on information, just straight up information. You know what I'm saying? You hear a news story on TV, and you start coming up with different things, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah, no, but that's not God. You know what I'm saying? So I think for me, I'm chomping at the bit, to press into the other side of this, which is the gift of discerning of spirits, right?
We might as well go for it.
So if you don't mind, I want to go ahead and just read it. 1 Corinthians 12, for those who might be following with us, it's in 1 Corinthians 12, and it's specifically verse 10. But let's just read into it, starting at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's awesome, right? For to one is given the word of wisdom. And I want to bring out some real key points here, right? In our natural ability to simply discern, right? There is no other source that's providing you with that information. That's you, as I said earlier, looking at a situation, right, and coming to a particular conclusion, right? But right off the bat, we see that it says in verse 7, the manifestation of who? Not me, not you, right? Not sister so and so, but the manifestation of the Spirit. And then it uses the word given. Right? So that means this is not something that we're producing on our own. Okay? Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Very clear. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Very clear. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. He's being redundant for a reason, right? Verse 10, finally, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, right? Which we that's a different podcast, but I will throw it in there. We're talking about gifts, and there's a gift of prophecy, but that didn't make you a prophet. Moving on, that's a different podcast. But finally, to another discerning of spirits. Right, and then it goes on to say to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And then let's look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. That's awesome. Holy Spirit is the one that's working these things in the ones that he's given those gifts to. And it goes on to say, distributing to each one individually. I love the last three words, as he wills. Right? So there is a stark difference between what I'm going to call natural discernment and the actual gift of discerning of spirits. A stark difference between the two, and I thought it was good that we would, deal with this a little bit, today.
I think you make an extremely valid point. There is a major difference between the two. The gift of the discerning of spirits, I guess the best way for me to be able to help to distinguish it in my own mind is if I am simply discerning, I can tell there's a problem, right? If I have the gift of the discerning of spirits, not only do I know there's a problem, I know what's causing the problem. Right? If there's an issue with somebody, you can tell, you seem a bit upset. You can discern that, right? But if I have the gift of discerning of spirits, I can tell what's upsetting you.
Yeah, like you get to know the source. You get to know the source. And I will say this as well, just talking about the gift, This is not just discerning demons. It's not just discerning or picking up. I'm gonna use this term picking up on, okay? I'm gonna use it in relation to the supernatural gift. It's not just Holy Spirit allowing you to pick up on demons and devils. You know what I'm saying? Some people,
Correct.
they see demons behind every tree. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you never pick up on angels. You know what I'm saying? You never pick up
Right.
on things that the Spirit of God is actually doing, in the spirit realm. The spirit realm is a very active place, but it's not just demonically active. The spirit realm is active, to angels, demons, principalities, so on and so forth. So I want to throw that in there as well. The primary purpose of the gift of discerning of spirits is to reveal the presence and work of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say it. You said it earlier, to be able to discern between good and evil. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's also, you can pick up on the human spirit.
You
Because here's the
absolutely
other
can.
side of that, Troy. You have somebody who you're standing in front of, and they're smiling and they look together, everything's in place, every hair is in place, you know what I'm saying? And they're smiling at you and everything looks wonderful, and you're picking up, you know what I'm saying, something, and you're like, why am I seeing that about them? They look like their life is wonderful. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes that is the gift, Holy Spirit wanting you to see, maybe for the sake of praying for them, maybe for the sake of being able to, minister to them, asking them, if they need prayer, and maybe giving them the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? We've had that happen before. You meet people, everything seems to be okay until you actually pick up on it and you say, hey, I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Is there something I can pray about? And then they break down and in tears, they break down and cry. Yes, please pray for me. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah, okay, all right, thank you, Lord. We really were picking up on something that wasn't obvious.
I think Bruce, for my own understanding, I think, and maybe this will make sense. Sometimes, not in every case, sometimes the predecessor to the word of knowledge is the gift of the discerning of spirits.
Oh, dude.
Right?
Yeah. That's
I think
great,
so
man.
sometimes it's the predecessor.
Let me tell you how I had it in my notes. In my notes, I had it's almost just like the gift of the word of knowledge without Holy Spirit actually saying anything.
So
You know
they
what I'm
go hand
saying?
in hand, right?
Yeah.
They can walk hand in hand.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for those that are sensitive to the spirit, for those that are I don't want to say in ministry, but what we call ministry, right? This is
Yeah.
one of your more powerful tools,
It
is
is,
the gift
man.
of discerning spirits, because you need to know when Holy Spirit is active, when he's at work, and you need to know when he's not.
Yes.
And so I tend to do this, and Bruce, you could definitely relate to this. I tend to keep my mouth shut when he's not telling me to say something.
Buddy. It
Right?
is such a wise thing to do.
I tend to keep my mouth shut. We've been in those prayer circles, and we've been in some of those prophetic meetings, and people go around the room, "Hey, do you got anything?" And I'm like, "No, I'm good. I don't have anything." And so I'm not going to make up anything just because everybody else has something. No.
Right.
If he's not moving, if he's not saying anything to me, then I just tend to keep my mouth shut. I think it works out better that way.
Yeah, it works out, and I'm glad you said that because let me add a little something to that. You could very well be picking up something, and it could very well be from Holy Spirit.
Sure.
But that's not the end of it. The end of it is knowing whether or not he wants you to say something about it.
That's right.
Just to add to your point, there is also this assumption with many, within the body, that just because he's showing me something or telling me something, that I'm supposed to, I'm supposed to blur, I'm supposed to blurt it out. I'm supposed to, well, hold on, God's showing me something. Wait, no. If he's able to show you something and you're at a place where you can hear it or see it, then you should also be at the place where you wait for him to tell you what to do with it.
Correct.
Because just from my experience over the years, I probably have been shown stuff and told stuff by Holy Spirit 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times more than him telling me to release it.
Yeah.
And I've said this before and I'll say it again. At least for me, a lot of that was training and still is training till today. You're never out of training if you're walking with God in this particular way. You mentioned being ministers of the gospel, if you're walking with God in this particular way, you're always in training. You're
Always.
always in training.
It
So
never stops.
years, it never stops, man. So still till today, there's things Holy Spirit will say to me, and I'm having this internal conversation with him, but he hasn't told me to say anything to anybody.
Right.
And it's gotten to the place where it's fun. When I was very young in the things of God, it was frustrating. And I realized that it was frustrating because I wanted to be seen and I wanted to be heard and I wanted everybody to know that I was hearing from God and seeing stuff. That's just the bottom line. If I would just pull back all of the fancy words, I think that's what it was. And that's consummate with being immature in the things of God. But as you grow, you're sitting there smiling, on the front row, listening to the man of God, the woman of God, whatever, and you picking up on all of this stuff, right?
Yeah, man.
You hey, look, let me make you laugh. I hope this is funny to our listeners. You're sitting there, and the Holy Spirit says, you know he has a problem, being mean to his wife.
It's crazy.
And he's preaching the house down, right? I've had that kind of stuff happen, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this right now? Well, 9 out of 10 times it was for me to pray.
Absolutely.
Never said a word. Never said a word to anybody else about it.
I think you said this, and I want to say it was either season 1 or season 2. When we were talking about the prophetic lifestyle, and I think you mentioned this, prophets pray more than they say.
I stand by it. I stand by it.
Yeah,
'Cause
man.
that
there's been a ton of things I know God has shown me, and it's and even training younger people in this. It's like, well, if he showed it to me, what am I supposed to do? Well, the one thing we know as a prophet or a prophetic person is intercession is your first mission, right? So anytime he shows you something, he's not giving you instruction to go tell it or to share it, pray about it. You're never going to go wrong.
No, that's absolutely right.
You'll never go wrong doing that.
I'll go a step further than that. Even if he does tell you that he wants you to publish it, 9 out of 10 times he's going to give you opportunity to pray over it first anyway.
Correct. Correct.
It's
Never going to go wrong praying.
the consuming of it, right?
Yeah.
It's the consuming of it. It's the it's the getting his heart, his feeling on it, which if you take time to pray, even if you know you're supposed to release it, right? Unless it is an immediate word that he says, tell them right now, right? Tell them this, right? You can't go wrong with praying over it.
No, you'll never
But
go wrong with it.
certainly if you didn't get the okay, say it now, if you didn't get that, then yeah, you should. If there's going to be, let me say it like this, Troy, if there's going to be any assumptions made, I would say the only safe assumption is prayer
I
over
agree.
what you believe you've heard or seen from the Lord. I think that's the only safe assumption that you can make is prayer. For God's sake, don't make the assumption that you're supposed to just blurt it out and say it, because a lot of prophets and prophetic people have done that and still do that, and they cause way more damage than good. You know what I'm
I
saying?
agree 1,000%.
Yeah. But we're
1000%.
talking about discernment. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about the difference, you know, between discernment. I love the fact that you laid that out, you know, that discernment belongs to every human being, like every human being. You know, it's part of the package of being a human being. It's part of the
Amen.
package of being an intelligent being, the intelligent human, the intelligent being on the planet. You know, God's made some intelligent creatures, but I think it would be safe to say that the human is at the top of the food chain. You know what I'm saying? In the way of intelligence, in the way of being able to communicate, in the way of being able to think through things, right? You know, I think he put us at the top of the food chain. And so discernment is simply one of the things that he has given us. And in that regard, yes, it is a gift, but it's not part of the actual
Spiritual
state
gift.
spiritual gifts, so what we might call
Yes.
the nine gifts of the spirit, right? And you know, so I think it's important to point that out. Once again, the gift of discerning of spirits. Okay, let me deal with this real quick. There is the misnomer. I've heard this many, many, many times. The gift of discernment
Yeah.
doesn't exist,
No, it doesn't.
except in the sense of, yes, God has given every human the ability to discern, and yes, that is a gift. But I've heard people, believers, say that, and they're referencing Corinthians.
First Corinthians 12,
It's
yeah.
Corinthians 12, right?
Yeah.
But they'll say the gift of discernment, you know, and I've actually been bold enough to correct some people and they didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? They didn't like it. But you know, but I mean, you know, it's important that you say it right. Otherwise, you'll get a different definition of it and a different perception of it, you know, and then you'll begin to operate in something that's not actually accurate from a biblical standpoint, you know?
Yeah, man, I have this in Job chapter 6, and just taking a piece of it, he says, "Cannot my taste discern between perverse things? Cannot my taste discern between perverse things?" And that word discern there, and I think you'll like this, it means to separate mentally.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
That's good.
it means to separate mentally.
Yeah.
And so now that's something I've already taken in. Now what do I do with it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's talking about perverse things in Job chapter 6, and with those perverse things, you're going to have to put those somewhere else, separate from the holy things, at least in
Yeah.
your mind,
Right.
right?
Right. Yeah, that's
Well,
good, man.
how do I parse this out when I intake something? Because there again, it's this is where you're really starting to tap into that discerning of the spirits, right?
Yeah.
Because I can be told information like we all are
Yep.
every single day,
Yep.
right?
Yep.
And once I intake that information, now I have to be able to separate mentally, is this from God or is it not? Right? And so I like bringing that definition, you know, to the table, because that brings another slight nuance to it. This is not before I intake the information. This is after I've intaken
This
it.
is after, right?
Yeah. And so now
Right.
what do I do with this, right?
Yeah. No, that's really good, man. That's really good. I'll add to that. One of the last things I have in my notes is that it takes practice.
Yes.
And I was going to make that same point. We, of course, you know, we do this and we don't talk to each other beforehand, you know what I'm saying? But I was going to make that same point. You know, it takes practice. It, you know, okay, watch this now. It takes practice from the standpoint of talking to Holy Spirit and asking him, because sometimes it is not as clear cut. You know, as I said earlier, everything seems right, everything looks right, you know, everything appears to be right, but you have this heaviness, or you have this Shoot, I've had times when it almost felt like I was about to be sick, you know. But to look at it with the natural eyes and to listen with the natural ears, everything seems to be in order. But why can't I go forward with it, right? So I think to add to your point, number one, you need to practice, and the way to practice is to stay close to Holy Spirit. I know he's in us, but what I mean is talk to him. Hey, what am I
Yeah, man.
seeing?
Yeah.
You know, what am I perceiving this correctly? Because he'll talk to you and he'll tell
That's
you,
such a
yeah.
good question, though.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
Yeah.
you are. No, you're not. Is this from you? Is another great question to ask
Yeah.
Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? These are safety questions, man. We want some, you know, let's give some practical application. You know, these are safety questions. Holy Spirit, is this you? Are you involved in this? Are you in this? Am I seeing it correctly? Am I perceiving what's going on right here? I've had Holy Spirit tell me at different times, no, that's part of that hurt you're still dealing with, and that you
Yeah,
gotta,
man.
you know what I'm saying? That you still gotta give to me. So don't act on that. That's not prophetic.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I'm saying? And so think about it. There's places you can step into, yo. There's places you can walk into, buildings, regions, cities, somebody's home, and you'll have an emotional response that surprises even you. Right? And you have to, based on what you just said, it was so great what you just said, you have to try to determine, is this me or is this Holy Spirit? Or is this the enemy trying to throw me off?
Correct.
You see what I'm saying? And
Absolutely.
the best way to do that is to make sure that you are checking with Holy Spirit on the regular and talking to him on the regular, and more importantly, allowing him to talk to you. I use the example, Troy, and I've used this example for many years. For me, it's like a stop sign pops up in my spirit. It's like a caution light pops up in my spirit. It's like a green light will pop up in my spirit. So part of that perception, part of that I'm going to call Holy Spirit perception, is not just getting the information or seeing the thing or perceiving the thing or whatever you want to call it. But in addition to that, I also pick up on red light, green light. You know what I'm saying?
I learned from an old pastor of ours, when we were young in the faith, and he told us you just kind of get this yuck feeling, right? Something's not, that's the best way he could describe it, and I immediately knew what he was talking about. This yuck feeling in your stomach, you're just like, oh no, that's not right,
Sure.
and that's helped me, in my walk. Is that the only way I know? No. But it does help.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely.
I had to bring
Absolutely.
this up before we get out of here, 'cause we got to talk about a little bit, at least in part, of what it's what discernment is not.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, for all of our listeners, ooh, may sting a little bit. Cool. But sometimes people will get discernment and suspicion
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
mixed up.
That's a good one.
And I can tell you who this comes from a lot.
Okay.
People that have been church hurt.
Yes, sir.
People who have been hurt by someone in the church, people who have been disappointed by people that represent God. A lot of times they come in with a skeptic attitude and they'll say that's discernment, and it's not. You're just being suspicious. And I get it. It's a human reaction. You do need prayer. You do need help with that.
No, for real.
But because one person did you wrong doesn't mean that every single person in that same position is out to get you. And this is
Yeah,
one of the
that's good,
wildest
man.
things, because they'll have this suspicion about somebody, and then the next thing you know, Bruce, they say, "Well, the Lord gave me a dream." And
Yes.
I'm like, "Listen, all dreams don't come from God.
Oh,
You're being
my God.
suspicious." And a lot of times, because you're being suspicious and you're playing into that, the enemy of your soul knows it, And he starts to give you dreams to
Yeah.
make you believe that you're discerning something that you're
Yeah.
really just being suspicious about.
Oh boy, there's an Old Testament scripture, and I'll have to find it for you guys at some point. But there's an Old Testament scripture, Troy, you might know where it is, that talks about the dream you have caused yourself to dream.
The dream you have caused yourself to dream.
The dream you've caused yourself to dream.
Yes,
Now
sir.
that's just really something, man. You know, you have this experience that seems very supernatural to you, but in actuality, it's okay. I'm gonna say it like this. In actuality, it's not so much supernatural as it is soulish.
Well, that's a good way to put it, sir.
You know what I'm saying? It's not as much supernatural as it is soulish. You know, and so once again, going back to what you said earlier, being able to discern, I'm going to use the very word that we've been talking about, being able to discern whether this is of God, whether it's from God, whether it's my own soul, whether it's my own emotions, whether it's my own hurt, or whether it's my own, you know, I'm going to even say this, man, because we deal a lot with the hurt side of stuff and the negative side of stuff. But sometimes I have found this to be true, even on the positive. You know, where it's still not God, you know what I'm saying? It's more your emotion or your soul, maybe even desiring something to be a certain way, right?
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? I know the Bible tells us that we can prophesy to the degree of our faith, right? I know that that is one working of prophetic utterances, right? But
Yep.
I've certainly had people prophesy to us over the years, Robin and me, you know, and I knew in my heart, and I appreciated it, but I knew, how do I say this? Because I don't want to, I don't, I'm not trying to, I knew that it was their ardent, heartfelt desire for us. But instead of just saying that hey, this is what I really hope and wish and pray for you guys, they gave it as a prophetic utterance. And those things, till today, 40 years later, in some cases, have not come to pass because they weren't actually a prophetic utterance for me and Robin from the Lord, but it was a sincere individual, right, who really had a desire to declare some wonderful things over our life,
Correct.
but it just wasn't from the Lord. Does
Yeah.
that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
And you love them, man. You know, you love them. One of the things that's kind of humorous to me is when people try to prophesy to prophets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's so much fun. It's so much
Yeah.
fun. Sometimes it can be annoying. It really can, you know, but if you really have, you know, you try to have the heart of God, man, and understand that people will look at you and perceive. Once again, people will look at you and use natural discernment, but because they have the microphone, you know, they don't want to just come out and say, man, you seem like a nice guy. You know what I'm saying? Or you seem like, you know, like how do you look like a pastor? I've gotten that one a lot over the years. You know what I'm saying? How do you look like a pastor? God called me to the prophetic, but I look like a pastor. Well, guess what? I am a pastor. You know, I operated as a pastor for a bunch of years and still do. But the office he's called me to is the office of the prophet. But you look at a certain situation or a certain person, and you're using many times natural discernment and not necessarily the gift of discerning of spirits.
Absolutely. And I'm going to put this out there, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this before. Maybe we have, but if we have, we'll go ahead and reiterate it. When dealing with prophecy, when dealing with prophetic people, always understand this. There's no true prophet of God that you're going to read about in scripture, not a single one who does not turn you back to the Father.
That's exactly right,
Every
Troy.
single prophet will always turn you back. If he's a prophet of God, he will turn you back to the Father.
He has to.
Absolutely. Moses was a prophet, turned you back to the Father. Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, every last one of them turned you back to the Father, which means that the modern day prophet should be no different.
It should
So,
not be any
no.
different. How can you be the mouthpiece for God in the earth, and the person you're prophesying to not be turned back to God?
That's the whole point.
It's the whole point.
Yeah. And so what happens, and what needs to happen rather, is when you get a prophetic word, that prophetic word should turn you back to God. And a lot of people will take off running with that prophetic word and not truly discerning whether it came from God or not. They just run with it. And sometimes you get hurt because it doesn't come to pass. And you say, well, no, that was a false prophet. Well, no, that's not the case. You get a prophetic word, especially if it doesn't immediately hit your spirit. Go back to the Father with that prophetic word.
That's all. That's all.
Go back to the Father with
I've
that
said
prophetic
it
word.
about myself many times, and I kind of try to disarm people. I'll say, "Hey, go back and ask the Father, was that little bald head dude, was he on it, God? Was that really for me?" You try to dis you know I you try to disarm people so that
Oh,
they can receive it and understand the point that you're making. Wow, yeah, that's a good point. I should go back to God and ask, is the little short bald head dude, really hearing from you on my behalf?
Yeah,
You
man.
know, that's what's supposed to happen, man.
That keeps you from getting hurt.
Yes,
It
sir.
should help you from not getting hurt. It should
Yes, sir.
help you from not being disappointed or discouraged.
Yeah.
Take that prophetic word back to the Father and say, somebody gave this to me today. What do you want me to do with this?
That's exactly right.
And so I think that helps. Honestly, I think that's a practical step
It is a practical
in
step.
learning how to discern.
It is.
Things a practical step. So a lot of fun, man. Discernment is that topic that can, yeah, I think is especially nowadays, because there's so much information and
Yeah,
everything is
dude.
moving so rapidly.
Dude.
And as soon as one thing pops up, you get filled with and inundated with the information from this one incident. And while you think that's starting to die down a little bit, something else is ramping up and you get more information. And
You
it's
get
so
more
important to be able to
information.
peel back
Yes,
and be
sir.
able to discern, is okay, what is God doing? Do I need to be, and can I say this? Well, I'm going to, because it's our podcast. Every fight is not your fight.
Oh, come
You
on,
need to
dude.
be able to
Come
discern
on, man.
what you're supposed to be involved in and
Yes,
what you're
sir.
not.
Yes, sir.
Everything can't be your fight. It's just we're not built that way, and the body doesn't work that way. So you can't get upset and riled up about every single thing and then have to do something about every single thing. You'll never fulfill your purpose doing that.
If everything is a five alarm fire, right? Then five alarm fires are normal.
Are normal. You are right.
If everything is an emergency, then nothing is an emergency.
Nothing is an emergency. You are
It's
right.
just normal now. You know what I'm saying? Because there's no way to differentiate between an emergency and a regular situation.
1,000%.
You know what I'm saying? So no, I think that's fantastic. I want to go back to picking up on human spirits just for a second before we close out, right? Two things came to mind. Peter perceived some things about Simon the sorcerer.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories.
You know what I'm saying? And he said to him, he said, "I perceive that you've been poisoned by bitterness, ooh, and bound by iniquity."
Yeah, man.
Ooh. You know
Bloodline
what's
issues.
interesting about that particular passage, Troy? Okay, this is a fun one. I'll give you the second one and come back to that one. Then you got Jesus who picks up on Peter, right? And says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," right? So it's like, ooh, Peter, I did him backwards. Peter learned some things and then was able to deal with Simon, after
Exactly.
Jesus dealt with him. So, just to put it in the right order. But what I love about Peter dealing with Simon the sorcerer is there's no record of Peter saying anything until Simon actually starts engaging.
He
Now,
didn't get
in
up and
my
tell
mind,
you.
he picked up on who was in front of him well before Simon ever said anything. But he didn't engage with him until he was supposed to engage with him.
It's a real important lesson. I love that point. didn't jump the gun, didn't just decide I'm going to do something about it. Now let's wait and see.
He could have seen him coming and said,
Yeah.
oh, and picked up on, oh man, he's full of bitterness and iniquity. Whoa,
Yep.
stop it. Don't even come any closer. I rebuke you in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I don't want you to contaminate me. Keep your distance, right? Yeah, no, he didn't do that. Didn't say a word to him until he tried to buy the gift. You see what I'm saying? Until he tried to buy the gift, didn't say one word to him. And I think that's worth noting, before we get out of here. I think this is good, man. I think it's
I
good.
think it's
We
great.
hit it kind of quick like, but hopefully people listening and watching will get something out of it. And as always, if you got questions, man, or you want to interact with us, where can they do that, Troy?
info@h20live.org. You can catch us there. If you have any comments, even the complaints, we'll take the complaints too.
And as you always say, Troy, if I might interrupt, if you have any positive comments, direct them to me. Any negative comments, just direct them to Troy Boozer.
and I'll have those forwarded to Michael Westbrook,
And we'll forward them to Michael Westbrook,
our new producer.
our unofficial new producer.
I love it. I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for spending your time with us here under the fig tree.